spend time talking about rebbes. We talk about rebbes a lot. We talk about tzaddikim a lot. We talk about figures who are major influences and influencers. Read biographies of Gedolei Yisrael who had great students and were great instructors of Torah, teachers of Torah, great role models in Torah. I wanted to mark tonight. I didn't want tonight to pass without focusing on not a Rebbe, but on a Talmud. Tonight's the 30th Yahrzeit of Reb Lev Yitzchak Bender. It's supposed to be again, Langdon. Left the world in 1989. It's 30 years ago tonight. Now, in the world of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, there's a lot of emphasis on tzaddikim. But at least for myself, in recent years, as much as I'm blown away by the stories of tzaddikim, and you know, I'm talking about the books of Elie Wiesel. I'm talking about biographies of all stripes and types. Stories about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Stories about the Bava Rebbe, Northern Moon by Night. And stories of Hasidic tales in the Holocaust, of the Blujev Rebbe. Stories that are just so instructive and so important. Somewhere a master. In recent years, I think that, I don't know if it's a stage of life thing or if it's just the sliding state of yichud in personal development, I'm as enamored by the role of the Talmud in the world of the Baal Shem Tov. In Chabad, there's so much emphasis put on what it means to be a chassid, what it means to be mevotel to a Rebbe, what it means to be somebody who, you know, the way the Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke about certain chassidim, not talmidim, certain chassidim, were just dedicated to the Eitzus of the Tzaddik, so dedicated to the instructions of the Tzaddik, so dedicated to the mission of the Tzaddik. And in Breslov, maybe more than any other approach and any other pathway in Chassidus, we focus on the Talmidim Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nachman Rabbeinu is the Rebbe, was the Rebbe, and will be the Rebbe. And from Rabbi Nassan on down to all of us, we're just trying to follow the Eitzus of the Rebbe. Reb Lev Yitzchak Bender, in the last generation or two, probably more than anyone else, represents someone who lived with Rabbi Nachman's Eitzus. When he was 17 years old, he left home in Grodzisk. Anybody know Grodzisk in Poland? What that town is famous for? Grodzisk. Reb Elimelech of Grodzisk? Yeah. Reb Elimelech? Exactly. The father of the Ishkodesh and Admor Chalutz. He left that town, he left that whole world of Polish Hasidus, and came to Uman. And he was a Talmud of Rabbi Avram Chazan. And it's good to know just the Masorah of Mishtal Shulis, not just because I'm hoping, Israel, that you mentioned to Rabbi Mo, that I said these names, but he was the closest Talmud of Rabbi Avram Chazan, who was, you know, the son of Rabbi Nachman of Tolchin, who was a Talmud Mubak of Rabbi Nassim. Only three steps removed from Rabbi Nachman himself. And the years that Rabbi Lev Yitzchak Bender spent in Uman were years of incredible Mesiras Nefesh. He was a Shaliach Tzibor in the Klois. Built Rabbi Nassim Pruta al Pruta, literally Kopek by Kopek. He saw the Klois. Kopek by Kopek, Rabbi Nassim built it brick by brick. And Rabbi Lev Yitzchak Bender, just with incredible Mesirat Nefesh, not with the approval of his family and not with the support of friends, went on his own to follow the Eitzes of Rabbi Nachman in order to be the Rosh Hashanah. German invasion of Poland was when?
38.
September 1939. The German invasion of Poland, so he was there. I believe it's a Bender, that was the first stint that he spent in prison. He was there with the Yid, with his close friend, and his Chavrusa, Rabbi Elie Chaim Rosen. They spent the war years, in Siberia. Imprisoned in Ukraine when the Germans invaded Poland. And then when they were able to get out of Siberia, just spent years on the road, fleeing. Their whole life was a life of just running. one city to the next. They never stayed somewhere for more than a few days. Now, it's important just to understand the context, the historical context in which this incredible Jew, this incredible Talmud of Tzaddikim, developed. Because we often think that, you know, in order to become great, everything has to be just like a test tube. It has to be like a petri dish, exactly right, controlled laboratory environment. Almei menuchos. And that if only I would have a little bit more money, I'd be able to learn a few shavadas. And if only I was married, I'd be able to, like, then have the life that I, you know, ought to have in my avodas Hashem. And if only my parents wouldn't be putting pressure on me to go to the Pesach program where there's mixed swimming, then I'd be able to really feel cheirus, etc., 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 etc. Whatever, everybody fill in your Mad Lib excuse over here. Levitz Bender literally didn't spend more than a few days in the same place for years. When someone asked him, like, you know, when he was a much older man, I think Rabbi Yachmir Shechter writes this, asked him, it was Rabbi Yachmir Shechter's Rebbe. Rabbi Yachmir Shechter asked him, you know, what is the kurtov, is like, what's a mila that he feels good about, that he holds on to, something that he's machzik, that he achieved in his life, and his Lord of Hashem. He said, of all my accomplishments, the fact that I lived in Russia and went through Siberia and spent 30 years on the run and in prison, and I still held on tight to the Ribbono Shel Olam and never gave up on my Emunah, is something he said that was his greatest accomplishment. As we think that cultivating Yishuv Hadas and Yirat Shamayim and Avodas Hashem has to be in a certain circumstance, right? If I'm in this specific shir, or I'm in this specific context, if I'm in this specific ulpana or seminary, or if I'm in Eretz Israel, or if I'm exactly things are the way that I intend them and want them to be, then I'll be able to accomplish, then I'll be able to grow, then I'll be able to achieve. Levitz Bender, who is probably the most important and well-known Baal Masora in Breslov in the last half century, who was known as HaOved, the Oved. He was known as an Oved, someone who was just serving God. That was his entire thing, was someone who was serving God. Levitz literally followed Rabbi Nachman's Eitzos. I mean, there's 7-8 volumes of Divurei Emunah. I have just the first 6 of them, and learned through most of them. There's just a constant repetition of following Rabbi Nachman's Eitzos Kipshuta. That means davening with Vasikin. That means every night Tikkun Chatzot, every day Hisborodus, being Dan L'Kaf Schus, literally using the methodology of Torah Resh Pei Beis to find a Kudot Tovot in Rishayim and in people around him to literally change them. That was his educational methodology. B'li Chochmot, without extra philosophies, without other Sfarim, without other influences. He was tunnel vision, following exactly what Rabbi Nachman spelled out. And he did it under hardship, under duress. And then he came to Eretz Israel. Came to Eretz Israel in the early days, with literally described like they'd go to sleep hungry. They didn't have what to eat. It was an incredible poverty. And stuck to his guns and did his thing. Literally followed Rabbeinu Sefer Hamidos just to the letter of the law. So, I struggle with this so much. Because I mean, I could say it every day. Hareini mekasher es atzmi l'chol tzaddikim amitim. I say it every morning. I say it every morning that I attach myself to all the tzaddikim. All the tzaddikim who are asher bar tzeiman, shochnei afar, who are here and who are not here. And specifically to Rabbeinu Nachman ben Feige ben Simcha. And I say, Hashem, I'm handing over the keys to you, like we learned in Sichas Haran early in the summer. I said, handing it over to you. And I'm saying in those words, I'm handing it over to you. Sometimes I wake up mibulbal and I even say before Moda Ani. No, it's kachazan. And yet, I find it difficult sometimes to get out of the world of effort and the world of chachma and the world of reading another book on the New York Times bestseller list that's a self-help book, and another going back to the shelf and trying to like grab this morphine shot from a different tzaddik and this insight and this inspiration and this story and this nugget. Some of it's professional development, because listen, you gotta make the milkshake to bring them into the yard. You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta get paid. Yeah, you got to come to a shul. You show up in the five towns, getting paid to speak on Shabbos. You can't just get up there and say, "Yid, to go tune some pshitas. Yid, to go tune some pshitas. Chatzos, and whatever." And then open up Sefer Amidos and start talking like, you know, the main thing is not to give a knife as a gift. Like, you know, I don't have the courage to do that. I don't have the emunah to do that. I'm trying so hard. I want to, but I also want to get gigs, top shelf gigs, and make money. I also want to give people something good that they can digest and walk home with and kind of go with an eights in their house. No? That's what I wanted to mark tonight, and I appreciate that everyone's here tonight to help us mark the yard side of Rabbi Levitsky Bender. Rabbi Levitsky Bender didn't have that problem. He was the central pillar of the shul in Mei Sharm. He came from Uman to Yerushalayim and brought the Mesorah directly from Rabbi Nachman. And It's. I mean, some of it is brutally narrow. I don't know how to say it. Literal. It's Karaitic Breslov. It's Rabbi Nachman said it. Why are you being mitbalbel and trying to like give a drasha to explain why? Just do it. He was completely unforgiving of the people around him who weren't following the Eitzos. And he's just like we have it. What are you going? What are you looking? What are you doing? What are you looking up? Tmimus upshitos means, with simplicity and wholeheartedness, put your head down and do what Rabbi Nachman said. What's the matter with you? So I'm somewhere between these two places, and it's a constant struggle. And I want to be more than a bumper sticker wrestler. I want to be more than someone who's, you know, puts Ha'eshali and whatever program I'm working for his logo on, whatever it is. And I want it to be panimi and deep and real. And ask Hashem to help with this. So I want it to be makasher tonight to Rabbi Levitsky Bender. And hopefully draw from some of his tmimos, from his pshitas, from some of his kashrus. Some of his being a Talmud. There's a story in Noam Siach that Rabbi Levitsky Bender apparently would say often. And it's also repeated in Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter's letters. He wrote this story that he heard from Levi Yitzchak. And said that this is a davar chashuv, an important thing to repeat. They have two business partners, two guys who are working to make it in the world, working to make some money. Now they did their thing, they did okay, and eventually they went their own ways, they separated, and they stayed good friends. They were on great terms. You know, one of the partners did very well and made a lot of money, was very successful, and the other guy lost everything. So the one who lost everything, the one who was poor, went back to his old friend, his old partner, and he asked him for some help. The guy who was successful, the matzliach, the one who was wealthy, had rachmanas, and he helped his friend. He gave him a loan. He you know, the guy was making a chasna, he'd give him some money. He always took care of him. He always made sure that before Yontif, he'd buy his kids suits and did whatever he had to do to make sure that his friend, his former partner, would always have what he was generous, he was caring with him, etc. Eventually, the galgal was there, the wheel of life turned, and the person who had lost it all, who was very poor, was back on his feet with his friend's help, made a couple good investments, and built up his capital, became very wealthy again. And wouldn't you know it, at the same time, the partner who had been successful, who was helping him, just lost all of his money. And the guy who lost all of his money now, who was now no longer in a position to help, but needed help, he went to his old buddy, the old partner that he had helped. And he said, you know, I'm a little bit down on my luck. You know, things are going well for you, Baruch Hashem. You know, do you think you could lend me some money? And he wouldn't. Not only wouldn't give him a loan, he wouldn't give him a penny. He wouldn't even see it. He wouldn't take an appointment with him. He said he's too busy. Asut b'karira ve'en lo zman. Didn't have time to give him the time of day. Imagine the guy who helped him and saved him this whole time. He didn't even have a moment for it. The guy was. I mean, he was, besides for being broken and down and out, he was furious. They have Enlecha Kafui Tov Mizeh. Anyways, a decade passed, and once you know it, the wheel turns around again. And now their fortunes are reversed. The guy who had lost it all and became wealthy, so he fell again. He lost it all and made a bad investment, and everything went south. And the other fellow, who was originally the helper who had lost it all, the opposite. His wealth was restored. Now, the guy, they're back to switch, the seat switched again. Following? So the guy who treated him so so bitterly, so nastily, and wouldn't even see him, he gets the gall, he gets the inner fortitude to go knock on his old partner's door and ask him for help. You can imagine. After all those years of not even letting him in his house, he goes to ask him for help. So now it's payback time. The guy sees him on the other side of the door and he says to himself, oh, here we go. He's coming now. He's coming. I'll throw him out. And he bat the call over the butler to have the guy literally push down the steps. Then he stopped himself. He stopped himself. He thought about all those years of humiliation and kafui tov. It was infuriating days. But his old friend that he helped for years blew him off completely. And while the old partner was waiting anxiously on the other side of the door, with incredible, it seems like superhuman, like midos work, like reaching into his pocket, opens up the door, flips the guy a coin, and says, here, take a rendel. Rendel was like a more valuable coin. Take a rendel. And then he closed the door in his face. After a long life, this person who had, whose wealth had been restored leaves the world, and he gets the Olam Emes, the Beis Din Shel Malah. And they're going back and forth with a spreadsheet in the sky, and in the end, there's the judgment that his failures and his averos are just mitkaber. And the accusing angels are keeping a cheshbon, and they're about to condemn him. When a voice calls out, the Bas Kol comes out in Shemayim and says, give him a rendel. Flip him a coin. And all the accusing angels dispersed. All the Mekatrigim dispersed. And he was allowed into Gan Eden. Rav Yitzchak Bender would tell this Maisa, and he would say that Rabbeinu taught that the main Nekuda, the main thing in Yiddishkeit, is to overturn a Midah, to turn Rogez to Rachman, to turn our anger into compassion. This is the most important thing to know about what it means to be a Breslov Chassid. Is that all the work that we're trying to do in our life, whether it's with Hispodibus, or it's watching with Shmiras HaLashon, it's keeping Mitzvos Aseh or Lot Aseh, whatever it may be, all the Eitzos of Rabbeinu, Betmimus Upshitus, are to get us to have one moment in our life where we'll be able to overcome a Mida, or be able to do something which is counterintuitive, or able to just overcome some gravitational pull to stick it to somebody else who deserves it. Who deserves it? The guy deserved to get pushed down the steps. But to give a rendel in a place, to be able to attach ourselves to one good point. And of course, in Breslov lore, in the world of Rabbi Nachman seeing eternity and seeing our life and seeing our world, in that construct, that one moment, that one mitzvah, that one nekuda tova, could be the difference between, you know, going this way and going that way. Because we never know. Tachlis ha'yedia, shelo neda. The main thing in this world of trying to cultivate knowledge, if you haven't read Living in the Presence yet, now is the time. Why wait? It's for sale in the cafe. It's for sale in the front office. If you want to understand these eitzes, just read it inside. It's black and white. And you still have 3 weeks left with Dr. Benji to talk to him about it. To be able to get to the place where to realize that we just don't know. And with all the chachmas and all the philosophy and all the instruction books and all the self-help and all the inner working and all the instruction and all the good aids us to, in the end of the day, we don't know when that one moment will come, what that one action will be that can change our eternity. When we can turn rogues into rachman. Who knows what mitzvah is going to be our rendel. So Rabbi Levitzik would say, don't be such a chacham. Just follow the Eitzos. Just follow the Eitzos and don't know. Follow the Eitzot and just surrender to the world of Tmimus Pshitas. And to tchaber that every single moment is an opportunity and a choice to be able to give the rendel to another Jew. To turn rogez to rachamim. That one moment to overcome that midah. To hold back for that one moment. To do that one chesed. To hold that door open for someone. To overcome and to transcend. And who knows if that rendel is going to be the difference between whatever eternity is. Yakmir Shechter has Osef Mechtovim, which is just so, it's just so powerful to be able to read the letters of these tzaddikim. And reading the letters of Reb Nosson, reading the letters, the travelers of Reb Shmuel Harvitz, and reading the letters of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and reading the letters of Yakmir Shechter, who's, I mean, walks among us. I mean, walks among us. He writes in Adar Tavshin Chavtes, about just about the importance of Likutei Tefilos, the importance of just davening through life, of just turning our lives over to Hashem and saying, Ribono Shel Olam, just help me be aware of every moment, help me be aware of every opportunity, help me know that I'm being guided by you. So he wrote in the context of how chashuv it is to be a daven, to live a life of prayer, to live a prayerful life, and to recognize that our entire life is a tefillah on the level of ani tefillah. He wrote about his mashpia. Shemizbonin Rab Levi Yitzchak. When we think about the Rab Yitzchak Bender, the Bala Yartza, the Bala Lula, Shigam beYosel Lamal Mishnot Tishim, when he was older than 90 years old, when he was already well past the age of retirement, Hitpalel beHislavos beRananut ubeBren Shal Avrech Tzair. He davened with a life, with a vitality, with a bread, with a fire of a young Avrech, of a young person in the heat of their days. Mekubal she's a simen, and this is understood. It's clear that this is a sign. She be made tzirat ever avarat Hashem bekedusha b'tara. When in his days of his tzirut, of his youth, he served God bekedusha b'tara, because Rabbi Nachman would say that it's forbidden to be old. The person always has to be young. And how could we stay forever young? How could we retain the innocence of youth? How could you be 90 years old and still be excited by the world? The world is still new. There's still something to like see that's different. See that the world is changing. As if we realize that we're constantly changing, and that our interaction with the world is constantly changing. Hischadshus, growth, that the world is new every moment. That the reality of the universe is constantly renewing itself. The world is a constant chiddush, and that I'm a chiddush in the world. And this moment in the world has never been before and will never ever be again. That aliveness, that vitality of appreciating where we are, comes from hispodidus. It comes from following the Renachan's Eitzis. At the most important way, the only way to be able to cultivate a sense of self and place in the world, to be able to attach ourselves to the reality and the newness of every moment, to be able to be someone in their 90s, davening with bren, with fire, with aliveness. Yakmir Shechter writes, it's only because Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender was someone who's mitbodeh. He was mitbodeh in the morning, and he was mitbodeh at night. He was machmir on Rabbi Nachman Zaitze. When does the day start? It starts at night, and then it continues to the day, vayir, vayivokir. But he would have his bodhis of night, and his bodhis of day. Because there's different moichin, there's different consciousness, and there's different way that Hashem is kind of reacting and enabling us in the world. And the yichud at night is different than the yichud in the day. He would be mitbodeh at night and be mitbodeh during the day. And that way there's a constant sense of self and place in the world. The person was cultivating yichud with Hashem all the time. Levi Yitzchak wrote that the goal of his hispodedus, the goal of being mitbodeh, of talking to Hashem every day in our own words, was birur ha'emes v'ha'emuna, was to clarify what's true, what's real, and emuna, our faith in Hashem, our awareness of Hashem, our connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. There's a teaching that I mentioned a couple years ago when we sat for Levi Yitzchak's Yahrzeit, that until, I don't know, not that long ago in my life, I don't know that I would have been able to hear it. When I had this set of Svarim for a number of years, I looked through the first volume a little bit, and then there was a time, about 3 years ago, that I just dove into it, a deep dive into Levi Yitzchak Bender. And I think at that time I was more ready for it. Now, and this is in preparation of Sunday's Camper concert, after Shir HaLevim, after David Ziff and various DJs, Avi Boards, b'chulei b'chulei. So Matt Dub will be here, and we got a great show for you on Sunday. Matt Dub will be here, ladies and gentlemen, Lippa Schmelzer, and Simcha Leiner. What's up? No, it's not the Reishit Shabbos song. It's a different one. But Bender says, "Hadjicheni va'amitecha." For years, they're saying to us, "Do your own thing, follow your own path, listen to the voice inside, make your own way, do your own thing, do your own thing." And it became a little bit of a Elohei Masecha, a little bit of an idolatrous way. Meaning, it was a good thing to say, and it made sense at the time. And by saying it without being saying that and living with that without doing the practice of his bodhis every day. Person's not the horse is leading the rider. But if someone's being mitbodeid and being mevarer emes ve'amuna, so Rav Levitzik Bender would say hadricheni ba'amitecha. What David HaMelech is saying, ba'emes shalcha. Your truth, God, not my truth, not the way I see it, with my kinna and my taifa and my kavod, because I have plenty of it. Not through my prism, and I'll talk to my friends diburim shel emes. Because I really just want to have that validated. And I can even convince my wife of it. And I can convince everybody of it. And I can say a shir with 25 makaros about it. But Hashem, hadricheni ba'amitecha. To have the courage to say, Hashem, yeah, I don't want to just follow my truth. Ba'amitecha, in your truth. Not just emes, but emes lamito. Because my own truth can be crooked. My own truth can be me playing games with myself. In order to fit the answer into the question, or to be able to fit here's where I want to get to. So here I'm being mevar my MS and I'm going to go on my path. I'm listening to my inner voice, authentic. You know, Echad Haya Avram, I can say all the right things. It's MS. But a Breslover knows the MS is not the goal. The goal is MS as Emet Amito, is the truth of the truth, is Hashem's truth, not my truth. The only way that can even begin to like even appreciate that is by following the Eitzes. And that was Rabbi Levitzik Bender. His bodhis was every day. He used to say that Breslov Chosid, I bought the Sefer Numan a few years ago at Rosh Hashanah. It was like Ma'amare Rabbi Levitzik. I didn't have enough volumes of Diburim, so I bought the Ma'amare. And that's the stuff that like that they didn't put into the official book, but stuff that he said along the way. Like stuff he said in the hallway or something, like the riffs in the coffee room or whatever, passing by the coffee room. He said that he used to tell the guys that a Breslover Chassid that haben a schwer din v'cheshven. That someone who's connected to Rabbi Nachman is gonna have a schwer din v'cheshven, challenging din v'cheshven when we get to the next world. Because we have a Rebbe who told us what we have to do. It's not just dancing techno Rabbi Nachman up and down. Gamze. And it's not just taking sugar packets from Uman and using it throughout the year. Gamze. It's not just schlepping around with Lukutei Tefillos in the talus bag. Also. Or buying all the BRI books and just buying. Also. And not just following Ozer Bergman on Twitter, but also. But a Breslov Chassid is going to have a real shver din v'cheshbon. Because Rabbi Nachman told us, he's bodhis us every day. His bodhis this every day, otherwise a person's not going to follow emes lamito. And it's not hard to understand why, but why is it so hard to do? It's the whole thing. And someone who has a discerning eye can see. You can't fake it. You can fake everything. You can fake everything. We can have all the right moves. You can get the right sweater sets and tights and Shabbos shoes during the summer, and a guy can put the right thickness of the tzitzis and grow pays the right way and wear the right outfit, and he could say all the right slogans and listen to the right music and have the right outfit, everything, he can even marry the right person and have all the right svarim, all the right moves, and it can be emes, it can be emet v'yatziv. But without his bodhis every day, without talking to Hashem in our own words, the most natural l'cha'ora easy thing to do. It doesn't cost anything. You don't need any books for it, or any study aids for it. You don't need anything for it. You don't have to go anywhere or be anything more than just ourselves. It's not emes lamito. It's not following the simple and most fundamental eitzah of talking to Hashem that Rabbi Nachman laid out for us. That's the pathway to a life of fulfillment, a life of presence, and being able to overturn rogos terachamim. There's a the Maisa that that the Blavitz Bender tells over in the Diburei Muna from Reb Chaim Tzanzer, from the Diburei Chaim. That one time Reb Chaim of Tzanz says he used to Shafach Habei Demaot of Nesha Misparach, that the Diburei Chaim would cry and daven to the Ribono Shel Olam, that when he came to daven, that when he was davening, he would forget everything that he learned that entire day. That when he davened mincha, everything that he learned since Shachris, he shouldn't remember. He said, I want to forget right now, for these next few minutes I'm davening mincha, I don't want to remember anything that I learned just now. Ki ba'eis ha-tfila tzarech la-hashkia et kol ha-kochot va-chushim. Because when it comes to daven, it's time to daven. I don't want to be thinking about the Tosfos or about whatever sugya I was just doing, about some philosophical quandary or something in the Olamos. When it's time to daven, it's time to daven. Maybe it's what Bender say that the real tzaddikim, when we talk about the tzaddikim, Asher Baritza, all the different tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim of the generation, he said the true tzaddikim of the generation are the ones who cleave to the midah of tmimus. Tmimus means being wholeheartedly connected to where I am in the current moment. Again, living in the presence. This is ABCs. Tamimus means that I'm doing what I'm doing. I am where I am. So he would talk about the Diburei Chaim, that he would beg God to forget his learning. There shouldn't be a stumbling block to his davening. There was a maisa that one of the Breslover Tzadikim, the Bechonon Specter, is quoted a lot in Diburei Emuna. Not Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan, Bechonon Specter. Was one of the Tzadikim of in the Bali Masorah of Breslov. About the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Noda Bihuda, who l'chaor on the outside represent two very different approaches and focuses and hadgashot in Yiddishkeit, the great gaon of the Noda, the great gaon of the Noda Bihuda. Actually, they're related through marriage. Anyways, when the Baal Shem Tov met the Noda Bihuda was mechabed the Baal Shem Tov a great deal. And in one of these times, I guess maybe it was a bar mitzvah, or I don't know, it was some simchat bat or something like that, that the Baal Shem Tov and the Noda Bihuda were like hanging out at. Probably not, but something. The Noda Bihuda went to go daven mincha. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him after mincha, and Mr. Blavius Bender mentions this like a number of times, like this is a maisa that he was very excited about. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh mentioned to the Noda Bihuda Zatzal, said, you gave a good answer to the Svar on the Rambam. You gave a good answer to the question on the Rambam. But you had to do it during Ata Chonim, Adam Das. You had to do it during Chonim Amar B'Lislach. In other words, like, why are you thinking about the Sugya while you're davening? And the Noda Bihuda would like, you know, responded to him, like, I don't bother you into your affairs. I don't mess into your affairs. Like, stay out of mine. I was like, you do you, stay in your lane. That's essentially what the Noda Bihuda said to Paul Shem Tov. Stay in the lane. You're doing your avodah zatfila, let me do mine. And Levi Zuck Bender apparently had a great hanah from this. From all levels. In other words, like the concept, that the understanding of what tmimut means in tefila from Paul Shem Tov, and the Noda Bihuda's tmimus of like, you do you, and I'm going to do me. Let's take a look inside. There's a page here that it's on the table. I handed it out up here. Yeah, you want to pass that around? I just want to read this inside, if you don't mind. Let's read this inside. If you want to just get a little bit of a taste, if you want to just get a little bit of a taste of Rabbeinu's Tmimus, as described by Rabbi Ben, this is from Chelek Dalet of Diburei Emuna. It's good to learn something inside, especially on the night of the yard site. Actually, this is something that Dr. Benji and I were talking a lot about recently. Hadracha about working. Hadracha and Parnasa. People often talk about it, you know. A lot of different chevre here tonight, but what comes up often. Everyone's here in kind of like different places in life, but there's a conversation that's ongoing a lot in our circles about meaningful, you know, making a job, having a job that's meaningful, using our kochos and our vocation. Vocation comes from the language of vocare, which is Latin for a calling. And, you know, I'm trying to find some choice in life, in Parnassa, that reflects our inner world, and will help us bring out our kochos hanefesh. And I don't know that that's necessarily, you know, the purpose of work, and necessarily the intention of, you know, our exile from Gan Eden and having to avdo l'shamra, and like, I don't know, those two narratives don't necessarily, it's a very modern Orthodox / secular / outside way of seeing the purpose of work, as opposed to, like, you know, having a job and fixing the world wherever we are, and finding fulfillment in our relationships, and finding fulfillment in our avodat Hashem, as opposed to wherever we happen to, you know, choose our profession and make a parnasa to sustain, like, our inner world and our life at home. We're a society that's obsessed with accomplishments professionally. It's obsessed with money and obsessed with things. And, you know, instead of a job serving us and enabling us to serve God and live our lives fully, we tend to be servants to our job in order to, like, you know, get a leg up in society. I don't want to paint with broad strokes over here, but the notion of b'chol d'rachecha da'ehu, which is really core tenet of the world of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, of knowing God in all of our ways, you know, means that whatever it is that a person's doing, we're able to access Yichud Hashem, b'miyached Yichudim, so to speak, reach the highest levels of Dveikus Hashem in anything that we're doing. It doesn't mean that we have to bring out our kochas and nefesh, so to speak, in a specific job. Just a few weeks ago, there was one of the great fish merchants of the generation left the world. You know what I'm talking about?
Rask.
Yeah, Rask's in Crown Heights. There's a beautiful video going around of Chassid Shayid preparing fish, chopping fish in his store. I must have watched it 20 times. I retweeted it twice, and I'll do it again. I watched it over and over and over again. Just seeing a Jew survived, rebuilt his family, served God, was a chassid of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, was a chassid with every fiber of his being, and his thing was just like he made herring and gefilte fish. The person was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Barab, and was about tzedakah, was involved in the community, built a family. He was a person who was just spreading the word of God in the world with great simcha, and he was a person who was dealing with fish. Chopping fish was so beautiful. It was a tmimus that, like, sometimes I feel is elusive. It's beautiful and painful at the same time. So here's just a piece from Rav Lev Yitzchak Bender on Hadracha Mo'ila Be'ez Ha'esek B'meschar, or Be'et Hask B'meschar. Kasher Rav Yitzchak Ben Meir Rav Nosson Nasal Eretz Yisrael, talking about Rav Yitzchak, who is the address that so many of the letters that Rav Natan wrote. Rav Yitzchak was buried in Tzfas, in the cemetery adjacent to the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch. If you're going to be in Tzfat, in the cemetery, stop by Rabbi Yitzchak. Please send regards. When Rabbi Yitzchak went to Eretz Yisrael, v'nifrad mi'banav, when he left his children, including his son Rab David Tzvi, and Rab Michla, Rab David Tzvi was named for Rab Nosson's father-in-law, for his, named for in memory of his grandfather. Here's what he told him. Here's the hadracha that he told him. When he went to make Aliyah, when he joined the Nefesh B'Nefesh, here's what he told his kids. Kasher nichnasti la'avod b'dor. When I went to go work in the post office, Rav Yitzchak worked in the post office. Uchrach hayti lalechet midei yom v'yom oladar. Every day you had to go work in the post office. Higiu kisafim derech ador. That's the way it worked. It was like before Western Union. Money went through the post office. But tzarachay olamol harbeh cheshbonos sakzafim ladat. Cheshbonim b'diyak. It was a job. You have to keep cheshbonos. Limid v'hidrichoti avi ketzad l'nohog ba'avodas hador. My father gave me a drach about how to work in the postage office. V'ko amar li, and this is what he told me. Yitzchak, itche, b'lech techal beis hador. When you go work in the post office, tachshov rak me'Hashem yisbarach b'torah v'tefillah. When you're walking there, when you leave your house, put on a 10-minute halacha in the car. you're sitting on the bus, open up Mishnayos, whatever it may be, learn your Daf Yomi on the train, whatever it may be, say Lukutei Zogdil, and whatever it may be, on your way to work, Belech Techa Baderech, learn Torah, make that time meaningful. V'ilu B'vavacha L'sham, but when you get to work to the post office, Kasher Tofia B'fnei Hanatsholnik, when you get there in front of the supervisor, Menahel Avoda, Hitrakez Hetev Binyane Avoda V'Aksofim, pay attention to what you're doing. Focus on your work. Get into those spreadsheets. Roll up your sleeves, furrow your brow, and do your job. Tasim Oznecha V'Libcha L'shmoa L'havin Hetev Mamadubar. Open your heart and your ears to give your all, litchaber, to connect with what's taking place in these spreadsheets. Kedei shelo taaseh ta'oyot b'inyan ha'ksofim. You don't make mistakes in adding up the numbers. Do your job. V'lo tichshol chalila b'avak gezel. Don't chas v'shalom. Make a mistake and take something that doesn't belong to you, or give something that's to someone that doesn't belong to them. And when you're done working, when you're ready to leave the post office, miyad ba'azvacha, tafsik miyad lachshov alkach, end it, shut it down, done. You close the computer, close the screen, v'tashuv lachshov ach v'rak ma'ashem yitbarach. Focus on thinking about God. And here's how he finished his hadracha. I listened to what my father said. He said, this is Rabbi Natan told him. This is Rabbi Nosson told his son Yitzchak. He didn't say, go into chinuch. You want to be an avodas HaKodesh, go into chinuch. He didn't say, go into Rabbanus. Learn. You have to learn for 3 years. You have to give out. Whatever. That's not what he told him. Go into dentistry so you have more time to learn. That's not the derech of the Baal Shem Tov. That's not the derech of a chassid. Not the derech of a person whose goal is to be miyached shem shemayim in the world. Not a quantitative value attribution of how much Torah I can shove down my throat like a force-fed goose. It's to wherever I am, in every situation, and in every opportunity, liyached, lihitchaber, to connect Hashem in that place, at that time, what's taking place there, on that spreadsheet, in those numbers, in that manufacturing, that ice cream shop, in that real estate deal, in that tax law, in that medical research center, washing those dishes in the restaurant. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, I listened to what my father told me. L'chein b'terem ifrad mi'yichem. I want to tell you before you leave, ani mi'ya'etz l'chem shegam atem tenagu kamoni. This is his etzah. To live with tamimus, pshitus. To reveal God wherever you are by doing what needs to be done. I don't need to say it even here. You're taking care of the campers, you're in the bunks, or whatever it is that you're doing. You're working in the base of Fua, you're working here in the base of whatever it may be, when you're working with people to litchaber lam, do what you're supposed to be doing. We have such a yetzer hara, that's what it is, a yetzer hara. To be learning during davening, and to be grabbing Mishnayis while you're taking care of a camper. When you're working in the post office, to be doing Parparos L'Chachma and making gematrias and listening to Rav Weinberger Shurim in the background. Do your job. Believe that God is there, that the vitality of that moment and the experience of Yichud in that moment is specifically through that medium. Tmimus U'Pshitus. Shemavad Sha'ot Ha'avodah B'Fal Lo Tachshavu. But that's it. Not when the first thing we wake up thinking about our job and our money. And not when we're going to sleep thinking about our job and our money. That's how we know we're out of balance. That's how we know we're dysregulated in Avodas Hashem. And it happens to me. I go to sleep thinking about all my head spinning of all the things I have to do. And all the things that need to be done for job and for work. Zelo ze. That's not a person who's living with Tmimut U'Pshitut. They have to quiet the mind. And there are ways, there are methodologies to do this. In the way of Rabbi Nachman, in the way that he was received by Rabbi Nosson, the way he gave it to Rabbi Yitzchak, the way he gave it to his children, to David Tzvi, and to Michala before he went to Eretz Yisrael, was when you're in the post office, be in the post office. Put the stamp straight and add the numbers right. It's not the time for drashas and vorts and meaningful minutes hopping here and there. Where we are, be there. To be where we are, that's Tmimus Pshitus. Person without his Bodhidus, this can't go. Without creating time and space to be with Hashem, to talk to Hashem in our own words, over and over and over again, Rabbi Nachman is warning us, and Rabbi Nachman is imploring us, and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender is hitting us over the head. Is that without his Bodhidus, it just won't go. It just can't go. Here's one Eitzah from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender. From Pala Yerza. We'll end with what, we'll give one Eitzah from a different volume of Sichas Rabbi Yitzchak. He say that in Sefer Hamidos, in Erech Kas, that if a person al yidei his vodos she'eno karoi, a person does his vodos the wrong way. It's not like eating a Reese's, apparently. It's not like a Reese's peanut butter cup. Well, there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. Meaning, I would say, if you ask me if I didn't know this, I'd say, yeah, of course, his vodos, whatever it is, however it looks, just go for it, do it. But that's because I'm an Arbech Chacham, and I can't get out of my own way. But Rabbeinu says, in Sefer HaMidot, Erech Kas, Lamed Hei, I looked it up, Al Yidei Hisbodos She'enu Karoi, Ba Lidei Kas. A person does Hisbodos She'enu Karoi, not inappropriately, out of order, not in the right way, which is not Ra'ui, can come to Kas. I read this, it was painful. This is why, meaning hits you right between the eyes. Right between the eyes. There's no room for this is not Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. This is Reb Levi Yitzchak Bender. It's right between the eyes, literal reading of Rabbeinu's Eitzes. It hurt. This one hurt. Because I thought that you go to Zbodos and whatever it is, sometimes we sing and sometimes we curse and sometimes we're happy and sometimes we just fall asleep and sometimes we vomit out whatever garbage is sitting on my head and my heart, and sometimes it's great and I'm listing all the things that are wonderful and blessing people and thanking Hashem, and sometimes it's davening for others, and sometimes whatever, and sometimes it's Sfas HaYichud, and sometimes it's not, and whatever it is, it's good. I don't know. It's late at night, and you're here, and it's the outside. So yellow will say exactly what I believe is when they said, if it's not karui, a person will read the kas, and that's not good. Because the goal is to go from rogas to rachman, not to awaken, God forbid, the midah of kas in ourselves. Here's where Rabbi Yitzchak Bender explains what does it mean, a hisbodus she'enu karoi. A hisbodus that does not begin with an expression of gratitude, and does not end with an expression of gratitude, or Rabbi Yitzchak Bender explains, is hitbodedut she'eno karoi. Yes to vomit, yes to scream, yes to fall asleep, yes to sit there and take out your phone half a dozen times and put it back, yes to sit there and cock around and wonder okay, is this enough, and yes to complain, and yes to talk about all the garbage and roll around in the mud, and yes to curse, and yes to plead for mercy, and yes to beg for... Yes, all those things. As long as it begins with a thank you and ends with a thank you, with an expression of gratitude. V'amar sheshama b'shem ha'arizal, he writes, she'sha'arei ha'hoda'a gam kein lo ninamru. We know that the gates of tears are always open. Says the Arizal, the gates of gratitude are also always open. When we express appreciation, we recognize our source. Hoda'a comes from the same language as vidui, of admission, of recognizing our source. By expressing gratitude in the beginning and at the end, it could just be thank you, Hashem. Thank you for the opportunity to open up a little bit. Or, I'm very thankful that I'm able to that I carved out a couple minutes here to talk to you. Some way of expressing gratitude. V'imoda l'Hashem Yisbarach b'tchila, v'ashar hazeh harei patuach, that gate is open. Then I can begin to believe that not just I'm speaking here and I'm not just checking a box, but that there's someone listening, and that there's an avaracham on there, that there's someone who loves me, who's interested in me, who cares for me. There's an entity, there's a higher power, there's a God, there's an Eibishter, there's a Bashefer, there's a Ribono Shalom, there's a Hashem Yisbarach, there's a you, there's a he, there's a whatever that is somehow listening and caring. We'll be able to believe that what I'm doing here is something which is happening, something here that's being listened to. Be able to cultivate the Sfas HaYichud from there by expressing gratitude in the beginning, at the end. And the truth is, this is an Eitz HaTova for every type of interaction. Expressing gratitude to the people who came. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving an opportunity for me, for us to be able to talk about these Eitzes. I believe that the real me wants to live with these Eitzes. And I believe that by talking about them brings us one step closer to actualizing them. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk about Elias Gebender. I never met him. I was alive at the same time. I was, you know, in 1989, I wasn't yet bar mitzvah, but I remember 1989. I didn't know Elias Gebender, but I met some of his chevra, met some of the talmidim. So Michael Dorfman, Zatzal, we can all learn and speak to Rabbi Meir Schefter and learn his svarim. And we could all open up, not just the Zichus of Levitz, like we could open up Lukutei Eitzos, Lukutei Tfilos, Lukutei Moran, and learn Rabbi Nachman's words directly from him, and learn Rabbi Nassan's words directly from him, and read an Olam Latrufa or a Mechtavim Oranat, or whatever it may be, in English, and connect ourselves to these Eitzos. And by talking about it, and by gathering together, especially on the night of a Yahrzeit, where there's an extra ability to access not just the soul of that individual, of that mashpia, of that tzaddik, of that teacher, Reb Levi Yitzchak Bender, I believe also that we can access the element of Reb Levi Yitzchak as a Talmud, so that we can all be Talmidim and Talmidot, Chasidim and Chasidot of Rabbeinu, of Rabbi Nachman, and to know that we're worthy of being called on the name of the tzaddik, and to follow these etzos. Because we're going to have a shver din v'cheshbon. Forget about it in the next world. Chaval. Every day that goes by that we don't spend a couple of minutes expressing gratitude before Hashem for the opportunity to be able to talk Lashon Nochach directly to Ribon Shalom. Chaval. The din v'cheshbon is happening now. Chaval. If we don't just take that opportunity to talk so openly and honestly with Hashem Yisbarach, and get stuck in our own MS as opposed to tapping into what's MS Lamito, to believe in the rendel that we give to another person, to believe in one moment of overcoming Amida, of one moment of Rogez to Racham and Tizkor, to be compassionate for ourselves and on ourselves and others, to say a good word to another Jew, a good word about ourselves, to believe in a little bit of Torah, and a little bit of Chatzot, a little bit of Ratzon, a little bit of an Akuda Tova, and a little bit of the Eitzus of Rabbeinu. It should be that the merit of Reb Levi Yitzchak Bender should be for us and for our families and for all of Am Yisrael. We should be zochah to judge ourselves favorably, to judge each other favorably, to be where we are, to do what we're doing with tmimus and pshitos. We should be zochah to live a life of emes lamito, following Hashem's truth, and God willing, that'll reflect our own inner truth. We should be zochah to a life of simcha, MS, and of emunah.
Amen.